Our topic tonight is sharing the gospel with our children. So let's start off with the very basics. What is the gospel? Sometimes, and I have seen this happen, people put a microphone in somebody's face and say, "What is the gospel?" And it's just dead silence, like, "Don't put me on the spot." So let's just take a look here at one of the verses that explains it so neatly and nicely. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I like how John MacArthur states it this way: God looks at Jesus on the cross as though he lived my life, and he looks at me as though I lived Christ's life. That's an incredible thought, and that's an incredible act that he did for us. This is what we want to share with our children. Every holy, committed Christian parent desires this, right? You want your children to throw themselves on the mercy of the Lord and realize their blood-bought forgiveness. You want that for your kids. If it was a matter of works, I think we would work our fingers to the bones for it. It's that serious. If it was a quick guaranteed formula, we would probably go to the ends of the earth to find it. If the cost was just too extravagant, we would come up with the money. It doesn't work that way. God tells us to share the gospel with his children. He's given it to us. It's so much so that Paul describes it this way. He says he desires that people come to God so much that he compares it to labor pains. I'm not sure of what Paul's association with labor pains is, but it's a great example, isn't it? A lot of us can relate to the longing of the birth of a child. The anticipation, all the care that went into it, the prayers. We might have even tried to speed the day, like taking castor oil or go bowling or go back and forth across the railroad tracks. That's what I was told. Didn't work. The same can be said about our spiritual birth. We may even try to speed the day with cajoling and pressuring and appealing to our kids, maybe out of fear. But babies don't come without that waiting period, that waiting on a power greater than ourselves. That painful process, the eventual crowning and absolutely astounding birth. Spiritual births should be the same way. Just as much longed for, just as life-changing, and just as dependent on a power outside of ourselves. The time that children are in our homes is kind of that labor period. It is short, but some days feel like they're endless. We long for their spiritual birth. We spend long nights praying and waiting for the outcome of our prayers, sometimes in hope, sometimes trying to speed things along. Sharing the gospel with our children is labor. It's a labor of prayer. It's a labor of love. It's a labor of constant vigilance, presence. But home is unique. It's our first front. It's the greatest opportunity that we have with our children. It's a unique nursery, like a hothouse. It grows little plants into big plants, but not just big plants that reproduce. Training and teaching does not have to involve lecturing and preaching. There probably will be that. But in the home, it is sharing. We're sharing the gospel. We chose that title specifically. We live in a crucial time right now. It's crucial for the gospel. It's crucial for the families. It's crucial for our country. It's crucial for our churches. I don't know where I got this. I thought I did. Somebody said this. For generations now, the message of the gospel has been watered down and reduced to a few words spoken, sometimes out of a desire to please a parent, a date recorded in the front of the Bible, an emotional response to an altar call. We can be overly anxious and want to hear the words said so that we can mark out and then relax. And a lot of children have fallen into one of these other approaches. We are seeing the results and we're reaping the harvest of children that have not understood or did feel the pressure and have responded not to the Holy Spirit and not to God's redemptive plan and not to repentance. The statistics continue to worsen in regards to children that were raised in the church and that keep the faith. By the time a child who is raised in a Christian home and in church, by the time that child is a junior in college, 80% of them will fall away from the faith. This is the time. This is the labor time. For them to learn obedience, respect, trust, humility, the very attributes that will lead them to God, that will cause them to submit, to surrender to their surrender their stubborn, self-centered wills to a Heavenly Father. This is a time for them to learn that their hearts are not naturally bent toward good, that their best deeds are filthy rags. This is the time. Interesting fact, Paul doesn't address salvation when he speaks to the children of believing parents in Ephesians 6. God's word speaks concerning the training of children, not the salvation of our children. I did not know that, but it makes sense. We train first. He speaks of training. God tells us the law is the schoolmaster. It's the law that teaches them that they have a desperate nature. It teaches it, or it creates a dissatisfaction with their hearts, and they realize that they need salvation. Those times when their sin doesn't bother them as much as it bothers you, those are the times we pray. And we say, you know, please, Lord, do not let them be comfortable in their sin. We prayed that prayer for our kids quite a lot, because they seem to have a better comfort with sin than we did. But it is that discomfort that brings them to salvation. Because we can see there is no gospel without the recognition of sin and a need of the Savior. The standards of the law were to be taught so that when the time comes, your son will ask, "Who is this God?" There's several passages in Scripture. There's one in Psalm 78, Joshua 4, and it says exactly that. When your son asks you in time to come, what's the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you will say to your son, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders and great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us up from out of there, and he brought us in, and he gave us all these statutes to fear the Lord for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us." The years that our children are in the home is the time to teach them the standard of God, the Ten Commandments, Sermon on the Mount, your house rules. It is a labor in which you're crying out to God with deep longing as you wait for the outcome of your prayers with much hope until that spiritual birth takes place. His work is more powerful than anything we can do. Sharing the gospel is a matter of love. When love is big and bold in our hearts, sharing happens. It's natural. Little kids, you know, they're not always known to be self-sacrificing by nature. So it's kind of surprising when you see them, you know, break a Twinkie in two that you just gave them and give half to that new friend. It's a sweet gesture that means they want someone else to have the same joy that they're having. That's sharing. You're giving them the opportunity to enjoy what you have. It's not donating. That's what we do to Goodwill, right? You know, too small clothes, outdated decorations, no longer needed maternity clothes. We donate what we don't need any longer. We share what is precious to us. We share because we want someone to experience that great work of salvation and to be brought into a right relationship with God. Last month, Karen shared with us. She shared many great and thoughtful ways to have a meaningful, rich, productive, quiet time in the midst of being a mom, a wife, a nurse, a cook, a maid, a chauffeur, everything. Because she wants us to experience what she knows to be true and what pleases God, because she knows the incredible value of it. She wants us to know God deeply and to trust Him. So it is with our children. We share what we love. Do we love the gospel? Do we love our kids? We would share that with them, because sharing is love. I don't know if the order of these mom-to-mom talks was intentional. I can't remember back that far. As we talk about sharing the gospel tonight, but our calling and command as mothers can only be fulfilled by sharing what we have. And that's the heart of discipleship, too. We can't share what we don't own, right? That was tried in our house. It didn't work very well. What we didn't value above all, or what we don't believe in or know to be true, our foundation in sharing the gospel with our children is our number one priority. We have to have something to share. First and foremost, the gospel, salvation, forgiveness, a clean heart, having a light that shines in darkness, a joyful attitude, a submissive spirit, the fear of the Lord, a desire to serve Him, and a trust for their eternal souls. And yes, letting them see that your greatest love is not them. It's not even their dad. It's not the church. It's God Himself. I still believe that the best headstone you can ever hope for is the one that said, "She loved God." This is not about making less of an overt effort to share the gospel. Rather, it's highlighting that we have light and love. If we have light and love and gratitude and contentment, if we love the gospel, it's going to spill out. We are sharing the gospel with your children. You are sharing the gospel with your children right now. Maybe really well. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you don't know. But you are, because you're living amongst them in that home, that hothouse. Our children know who and what we love. If you want to do an experiment, ask them. They'll tell you. They'll tell you who you love and what you love. It will spill out into our children. I think about the disciples as Jesus ascended, and I wonder if they looked at each other as it dawned on them that this incredible message for all time and eternity, everything that Jesus had died for and rose again for, had just been left in their hands. And they're it. There's no plan B. It's the disciples or nothing. And I've often wondered what that was like for them. Did they take a moment? Did they group? I guess they did group up a little bit, but I don't think they went and decided to author a book. How do we do this? And I think they were wonderfully amazed at the opportunity to tell what they had seen, what they knew to be true, what they shared with Jesus. I don't think they could wait to share. And they did. They shared in prisons. They shared on the road. They shared in far-flung places amongst enemies. And sometimes this is harder, amongst friends. They shared what was in their heart. Our love for the gospel, the desire to be His disciple, creates opportunities. We go to the verses in Deuteronomy so often, and rightly so, about the sharing with our children and teaching them diligently and talking to them. When you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These are opportunities. But we kind of slide over that first verse as if it's not even connected. And really, it's not only connected, it's the wellspring of everything. It is sharing. Verse 5 says it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then you go do this other stuff. That is it. That is the crux of everything. And sharing is a command. His plan was to redeem His people to Himself. And it still is. My children, your children, grandchildren, children everywhere, to bring worshipers to his kingdom. His plan included the sacrifice of his child's life, coming to earth as a baby and walking amongst us, being rejected by the very people he had chosen, offering himself to die to fulfill the sacrificial system that he had illustrated so many times, so many years ago, bearing our sin before we even existed, loving us before we knew him. And then his plan went further. He raised his son from the dead. And at his resurrection, he gave us his righteousness. He treated his son like he was us, and he treated us like we are his son. His plan is to redeem us. And before returning to his father with his mission accomplished, he did something else. He lingered. He stayed to train and commission his disciples, his spiritual children, to carry out the original plan, the work. There was no plan B. Discipleship is still it. And moms, we are disciples. And we have been commissioned and commanded in Matthew 28. We're it. We're to share the gospel. It's our commission too. And it begins with those precious little ones that he, before the foundation of the world, planned to put in your household. God wants and desires, nay, commands me to share the gospel with our children. It's a matter of obedience and it's a matter of discipleship. But that doesn't mean that it all depends on us. He gives us a great deal of peace to know that although I have a major role in this, just like giving birth, I have a major role in it, but the spiritual birth of my children, his role is greater. He's their creator. He has a lot more invested in our children than we do. We can trust him to work in ways that we can't. His every motive towards us and our children is love. God's been at this a lot longer than we have. If God designed our children in our wombs before the foundation of the world, if he put that much forethought and power into a physical creation, won't he also have an equal or even greater role in a spiritual creation, an eternal relationship with him? He created us physically with the same power and plan as he creates us spiritually, with one exception. Spiritual birth required the cost of his child. If we allow the gospel to be front and center of our day, it will come out. If we put it in there, it will come out, and the Holy Spirit will work in your child's heart. It creates an atmosphere where the gospel can easily be the topic of conversation. I remember, making sandwiches for the kids, and my mind would go to verses that define Christ as the bread of life. Well, what does that mean? There's an opportunity to tell your children, you can't live without bread, at least in those days. It was a source of protein. It was their vitamins. It was their existence. They could not live without him. Or slowing down to let an ambulance pass and praying together for the person in need. That's an opportunity to speak of the importance to take God seriously now. There's a paper on your table with discussion questions, and there will be things that you think of, and we're going to ask you to share those ideas with each other. He doesn't demand, nor does he command us to do something without providing the means, the opportunity, and the power to fulfill his desire or command. It is said by someone, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, and that would be us. We're called to be disciples to our own children. That's something to keep in mind when we're cleaning up messes and playing referee and making endless lunches and tackling mountains of diapers. We are also created by the Creator. We are also equipped by the Creator for that very unique personality under your roof. The one that whose mouth goes nonstop. The one that baffles your brain and the one that has endless energy. But he provides the power, the means, and the way to disciple that child, which is unleashed through our relationship with Jesus. You know, people come to Jesus in many unique ways, different situations at different times, and sometimes after we're gone. But there's only one way. We know the way. But the Holy Spirit may know how to use a situation that we dismiss, or we're too busy to be bothered with, or we can't see behind the question that was asked. But the Holy Spirit can. He can take a moment that would seem unimportant, not much of an opportunity, and do a miracle. And he has been doing that very thing for more than a few years, in impossible situations with the hardest of hearts, and sometimes at the last minute. And we can trust the Holy Spirit. Now, I was saved as a young child. It was my mom who led me to the Lord. I have distinct memories of being very, very miserable in my sin. And I also realized that was my future. But it was the Holy Spirit that worked on me and enlightened my heart to the point where I understood I was never going to be good. I wanted to live the way I saw my parents live. And for me, at that time, because of the work the Holy Spirit had done for me, it was the gospel that I heard in her words when she said, "Girls, Jesus wouldn't like that." That was not a great deal of theology. The Holy Spirit had already done that for me. We weren't sat down and made to acknowledge that we were sinners. That's nothing wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit had already done that. And we weren't told that we were just going to go on and keep on sinning endlessly unless we were rescued. The Holy Spirit already did that for me. And that is not to say this is how and when children should come to the Lord, but rather that the Holy Spirit is at work in your house, in your home, in ways you don't know, in ways that you're not aware of, in ways you maybe don't even understand, but he can be trusted. The truth from that will overflow, or it will come out because the Holy Spirit wants it to come out. It'll come out, and it'll come out into the heart of our children. It's the Holy Spirit that will convict our children. I know we think that's our job, but the Holy Spirit will convict your children. He will teach your children. He will empower your children. Sharing is offering something of value, and in this case, of great worth, because we're rich. We have the gospel. We have unlimited storehouses to draw from. And even when we don't realize it, or take advantage of it, or are too lazy to go get it, it's still there. So last month, that was the place to start. Filling ourselves up with the truth. Having a relationship with God that bubbles out. Changing our attitudes in our homes so that our children will go, "Hey, Mom, why do we do this? Why do we have that rule? Or you changed." So last month's the way to start. And tonight we build on that foundation of being in the Word, and we're at the feet of Jesus, worshiping in him, knowing and loving him so much that it spills out onto our children. That what is deep in our hearts pours out across our lips. Sharing his gospel, sharing the best, and it's born out of a love for God and the children. So take encouragement. Come away with a peace and a realization that God loves your children more than you do. And he has a plan, and we're not alone in sharing the gospel.